Thank you, Ben. Nice to see you guys. It's kind of special to present the topic in the space we actually tested and experimented for years. This is very special. As you can see, we have some soccer ball looking speakers around here, and that's part of the system we developed at McGill University. It's called Virtual Acoustics Technology. And under the supervision of Wiesel Foschek, the Virtual Acoustic Technology team developed this system for the last couple years. Right now, I left this place. I worked in the US, but I would like to share a little bit of story about this system. But after my presentation later on, Wiesel Foschek and John Hong will discuss about the system in much further details. So for now, just to introduce this system, I just want to focus on very small aspect of virtual acoustic system, which is the stage support area of the virtual acoustic system. As you guys all saw, 2 days ago, we went to space, right? Beautiful space, lots of different surfaces, surface materials, different sizes of materials. And on this picture, you can see this many musicians on the stage playing in real time. And around that, this area is called stage, as we all know. And around the instrument, around the ensemble, you have all these different surfaces. And looks like that's some sort of important feature for the orchestra. That's why they designed, they installed that. And why is it important? Just to review very basics of acoustics and stage acoustics. And when you have direct sound, it's usually controlled by orchestra setup itself, right? The musician itself, orchestra setup itself. And also maybe from the risers and screens they have installed on the stage might affect the direct sound of the orchestra. And after that, we have something called early reflections. As you can imagine, it's the reflections coming from the walls or reflectors around the ensemble or around the musicians. And so controlled by stage shell, like we just saw here, right? It's called the stage shell. And reflectors or canopies. And the gentleman was explaining about the importance of canopy on the stage, right? So they can lower the canopy or lift up the canopy for different performances, different ensembles. And it will change the level and direction and the distribution of the reflections for their purpose. And later on, we have something called the late reflections, usually controlled by stage itself, also the hall itself. And in this presentation, I want to focus on this part, early reflections, right? Because it looks like an important part of the sound of ensembles and musicians. And previous studies, there are many, many different studies studying on this aspect, right? Need heavy reflecting diffusing surfaces on the side and rear walls, if possible, from ceilings, like canopies, by Sheng Glenn. And Gaudet mentioned the early reflections are the main factor for achieving support, support for the musicians and ensembles. And from Nakayama, reflecting elements at the back wall and ceiling maintain directional cues from the hall. Right? It's very important for giving a directional cue for the ensemble. And reflected behind the choir improves the balance and ensemble of the choir. Right? Looks like a very important part of the ensemble by Marshall. And Bernays said at least 2 or 3 early reflections should arrive before 30 milliseconds from the direct sound. Okay? So it looks like a very important part, but sometimes, like in this room, we have one picture like this, very sad looking two musicians. right? They're about one of here and one of over there, probably. We said it like that. Very sad looking and not happy about it, right? Because they cannot hear each other and they don't have a support from the stage, right? As you can see, in this place, there is no stage, right? It's an open place, right? So when you have a recordings or rehearsals or any practice, it was very hard for the musicians to hear each other and to get any support from the acoustics. As you can see from in this position, maybe the closest wall is like that, which is about 30 feet apart, 35 feet, which is about 435 millisecond delay, right?
No.
No?
Twice.
Twice.
30
back,
over,
yeah,
30
and
back.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Twice. Yeah, 50 or 60 millisecond delay. So we want you to test that, and we want to improve that part using the system. So we installed this stem. I'm not going to go over the details about this system, but we got this system, and we invited musicians, especially in this case, 15 small ensemble. It's a small ensemble with 15 musicians. They formed like that, around in the middle of this room, right? And then we prepared four different acoustic conditions, using the system or without the system as well. And we asked them to fill out the questionnaire. After each time they playing in one condition, they had to fill out the questionnaire. And after each time, they had a little bit of break to tune the instrument and get ready for the next take. Of course, the sequence of the playing was randomized, so they didn't know what's going on in this space. They heard the difference, but they didn't know what's going on in the acoustic space. So here are four acoustic conditions. Condition one was off, like this, without any system, without any manipulation. Condition two, we added some acoustic information, which is consist of early reflection and some mid reverberation and late reverberation. And condition three, same as condition two, but we extended the late reverberation. So we had longer reverberation time than condition two. And condition four, we didn't use any mid or late reverberation, but we just added early reflections, lots of early reflection information into the speakers. Right? So we had four different conditions. This is the magnitude response of four conditions. As you can see, there is no difference. We made sure that we are not increasing the level, so we might bias listeners or musicians' response. So we were making sure everything is same, and even the frequency response is almost same. I don't see any major difference on this graph. And the reverb time, of course, we increased the reverb time quite a bit. Of course, condition three, the top one is at about 2.3 second-ish, 2.3 or 2.4 at 2 kilohertz. And then you can see condition four is almost same as the natural hall, this hall itself. So it didn't increase the reverb time that much in condition four. But when you look at the stage support parameters, it's one of the ISO standard parameter, you can see that the top one is condition four, has the highest value. And condition two and three is almost same value as condition three. So for condition four, it didn't increase the reverb time, but it increased the stage support parameters because we added lots of early reflection energy onto this space. And here's the questionnaire. We asked 13 different questions about if you can hear each other well, or was it easy to maintain tempo, how was the clarity, envelopment, all these kind of basic standard questions. So just go forward. Here is the result from the 15 musicians. Nine musicians said they like condition four better. Again, we randomized the order of presentation. They didn't know what's going on here. Okay? So condition four was selected for the most preferred condition, which had a lot of early reflection energy. And after the experiment, we were asking some questions, like some interviews with the musicians. They said they could hear each other better, and they felt they are supported by the acoustics. So that was their comment. And after that, we wanted to see which question was the best descriptor for their preference. So we did something called multiple regression analysis. And the result is that for those who chose condition four, they said they rated higher in the envelopment question at about the R square value of 66 and pretty significant value for this. So they thought condition 4 with loss of early reflection energy was enveloping. They felt envelopment. When you look at condition 3 and 4, which has two major preferred conditions, quality of reverberation, they thought the quality of the reverberation was better, at least, than condition 1 and condition 2. It is quite fortunate to see that they felt more natural with the system on than without the system somehow. So just to conclude, the system you can see right now here effectively augmented the key acoustic parameters, especially reverb time and then stage support parameters. The second conclusion, and musicians preferred playing the less reverberant, right? Condition 4 was less reverberant than condition 2 and 3, but still it was supportive and enveloping. That's what they felt. And the last, envelopment and quality of reverberation were two most significant questions or attributes of musicians' preference. So we have to remember that when you develop this kind of system, when you present this kind of system to musicians, we gotta make sure it sounds natural and the quality of reverberation should be high enough. And also, it's gotta give some enveloping feeling to the musicians. That's why what we learned from this experiment. Thank you.
Thank you. I can't tell you how happy I am with these results.
Thank you.
It's so nice that there are some scientists doing research to prove what you always felt was right. Mm. So thank you.
Thank you.
Any specific questions for the young? Yeah? Oh, many. You were first.
We used specifically Schaff's wide cardioid microphones. Sometimes we use omni microphones. Sometimes we use shotguns. But depending on the musical contents and the sound we want, but we found that wide cardioid microphones in this space worked better for musical experiments. We use four microphones, I remember.
Okay.
Yeah, to capture all the instrument, because one microphone would not be enough.
One more question, because we are tight on time, because we started too late. I'm to blame for that.
Quick clarification on the early reflections between condition 2, 3, and 4.
Mm-hmm.
Did 4 have more than 2 and 3?
Yes.
So then actually doing that comparison and finding out where those are would then be an interesting follow-on study, I would think, as
right.
to how that affects the musician's feeling of stage support, most
right.
importantly.
Right. Thank you.
That's correct, Bruce, but I would like to comment to that because the overall level was the same and the natural acoustic didn't change, the total energy in those reflections were the same as the total energy in the full reflection pattern.
Right.
So they were careful. But you have a point. It's a variation to look at. But then the loudness difference comes in, which is very tricky in audio testing, as we all should know. Okay, Mashiro, go ahead.
Yes. So, thank you. My presentation title is Future Without Feedback. Yamaha's AFC system, Active Field Control, is an acoustic enhancement system. With this system, for example, we can change the reverberation time depending on the types of music or speech performed on the stage. So this system is installed and fixed, but still this system is suitable for live performers, just like a typical sound reinforcement system we have been discussing in this conference. As a live sound system engineer, we often struggle with feedback. So when the response of a system loop reaches the howling limit, of course, the system will become self-excited. So we need to fight with those peaks in the frequency response of a system loop. And when we can reduce the acoustic feedback in the system, we can have more flexibility in the electric part of the system. Then we can raise up the gain, or we can apply more FIL tops in the electric part of the system. To reduce the acoustic feedback, we could use some simple solutions like moving the microphone closer to the performers, moving the speakers closer to the audience, or using more directional microphones and speakers. And another strategy is to install more systems, since we can raise the acoustic gain with multiple systems. When we double the number of the systems, we can raise up the gain as 3 dB. And of course, the actual phenomenon is not so simple because of the cross feedback between the systems. But roughly, we can think like this. So in other words, with multiple systems, the necessary acoustic gain or necessary acoustic energy provided to the sound field can be shared among the several systems. But we should take care. The input signals should not be mixed in this case. When they are mixed, the systems are not independent from each other anymore, and the necessary acoustic gain cannot be shared by them. But this multiple system strategy works very well in an acoustic enhancement system because it allows us to use omnidirectional microphones positioned away from the performers. So even with fixed microphones, it is effective for various stage configurations. And these microphones can also pick up the applause from the audience, for example, and that can be enhanced as well. And this feedback is a good feedback, as discussed yesterday. I mean, from audience to the stage. But installing more systems involves more cost. So in our FC system, one algorithm called EMR is used, electronic microphone rotator. And EMR changes the combination of input lines and output lines periodically. With this algorithm, we can enjoy the benefit of multiple systems without having the hard work and high cost of installation. This is our understanding. There are various ways of understanding, I think. But this is one way of understanding of this algorithm. In this case, we can have 16 virtual systems, 4x4, using 4 physical systems. And the necessary acoustic gain of each system can be reduced by 12 dB compared to using just one closed loop. And that is a huge benefit to win our struggle with feedback. But about the number, I mean, 12 decibels. I'm just giving you a brief and simple idea. And in the next paper session, I think a more detailed study about the benefit of time varying will be presented by the University of Erlangen and Nuremberg and Fraunhofer. So please join that as well. The main auditorium of Tokyo International Forum, with more than 5,000 seats, is one of the largest auditoriums in Japan. The challenge for AFC in this hall is to provide sufficient sound energy in such a large space. But thanks to EMR, we could achieve it within a reasonable cost. The facility has been used as the main venue for a classical music event named La Folle Journée au Japon. Am I correct? Which means a crazy day in Japan. So in this event, many orchestras perform on the stage, like one orchestra every 2 hours for 3 days. So yes, crazy days. So it is almost impossible to change the microphone positions for each orchestra. But with AFC, the operator just needs to turn on the system to adapt the acoustics while the microphones remain in their static location, some distance from the stage. That is the benefit of electroacoustic system. So in this case, the purpose of the system is more like enhancement than synthesis. If a sound field is properly designed, actually, we did the acoustic design of that hole as well. So we just need to enhance the reverberation. Then we can apply an averaging algorithm to the system. From a different viewpoint, EMR is averaging the acoustic loop of the system so that we can eliminate any strong peak in frequency characteristic of a system loop defined by a specific microphone and speaker while changing the combination between them. But sometimes we also would like to enhance or improve the aura refractions. In that case, the purpose of the system is not just to enhance, but also to synthesize a sound field with specific refractions, such as lateral refractions for SW or frontal refractions for the presence of the sound source. So then, we cannot enjoy the benefit of averaging anymore. We need the specific refraction from a specific direction, so we shouldn't average those RE refractions. Instead of averaging, we need to consider a different solution like crossarm microphones, directional microphones, or directional speakers. In most cases, we use directional microphones at carefully designed positions for RE refraction enhancement without electronic microphone rotator. And these days, we can use a convolution technique with a much more reasonable cost than before. So we can also provide systems whose purpose is more for synthesis than purely acoustic enhancement, like the virtual acoustic systems here. And this is an example of a synthesis application from us. The title of this concert was Venetian Fantasy, Looking for an Acoustic of Basilica di San Marco, produced by the Tokyo University of the Arts. The purpose of this concert was to enjoy the Renaissance music with Renaissance acoustics. So they wanted to reproduce the sound field of Basilica di San Marco in a small concert venue in Tokyo, whose seats capacity is only 500. So we measured the impulse response of a basilica at multiple positions along the surrounding walls, picked up the sound on the stage, convolved it with the impulse responses, and reproduced it from the speakers corresponding to the measurement microphone positions. So we can somehow reproduce the sound field, hopefully. And I should say sorry about one thing. We couldn't measure the impulse response of San Marco itself. We tried, but we couldn't. And I found some papers, but anyway. So we used the data from a similar type of church. But anyway, we used the actual measured impulse response from a historic church to reproduce the effect of the venue's existing acoustics as much as possible. We put some absorption material on the stage and modified the impulse response to match the expected decay curve at the end after convolution. And speaking of acoustic feedback, we could place the microphones closer to the performers because this was a special system for this one-off event. So we just needed to consider this orchestra with this specific configuration. So it was much easier for us to reduce the chance of acoustic feedback in this case. The subjective impression was nice, was good. We did some measurements as well, and the overall result was fine. And concert was successful, of course, because that's a concert. So we used oralization system to check the benefit of this system before the concert. And that is another interesting part, but because I don't have time, so please check this paper if you are interested. So we can select the best type of solution, reducing the chance of feedback depending on the purpose of the system. And for the future, we have many things to do. Control of FIR, IR, we need more tools for auto tuning, and the voice lift must be interesting application. And unfortunately, the future with feedback never disappear. But these days, we can enjoy the benefit of advanced technologies with much more reasonable cost thanks to an advanced CPU or DSP. So we can study more and hopefully provide more effective solutions. And we have some demonstration systems in New York. So when you have a chance, please visit there. Please call Yamaha colleagues. Thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you, Hiro. You very clearly illustrate that these systems are still very strong under development, and there are different views and different approaches in how to achieve what you want, and what you want to achieve and what you need to achieve in different situations varies, so that requires a flexible system. Any specific question? I would like to go on because we have very little time left. Wislaw will elaborate a bit more on the system they have developed over here. And that will be followed by a brief demo, which should be very interesting. But at the end of the afternoon, at 6, we have a concert over here using the system. Only I don't think we will be switching different settings then.
No.
No, no. It's not something you do during a concert.
That's well, right. I'm sorry, I did that.
It's all in the hands of the mixer.
That's right.
Know, it's art, you know. So, yes, I would like to say a few things about our system. It's a research system for work such as investigation, such as Doyun has described. Yes, John and I are presenting it together. Wanted to discuss three things. Capturing IR material, synthesizing room features, and sound field rendering, because in our case, measuring rooms is not really, it's measuring everything that a room can provide that could be used later. We consider a room to be a acoustical processing device, and depending on the location of the source and the loudspeakers, the response of the device will be different, and there is a relationship between the three. So we capture the material, then we use that material to synthesize certain room features that we identify that we like support of musicians, and then we render using this system. I will describe it. So, first of all, we capture the The room responds in multiple locations of source and receiver. That kind of obvious, but I tell you to what degree this is actually done. And receiver, using receiver and source arrays. And I'll give you an example here with the Grace Cathedral, which is a huge church in San Francisco. It's 100 meters long and almost 50 wide and 53 high. And obviously, it is a multi, it is a space that has a number of connected smaller spaces. You know, you have the aisles under slightly lower, then you have transepts, you have this chorus area, etc. So they all interact, and obviously, the sound field is not uniform in any of these. And locations. So if you want to have a representative picture of this space, you have to decide, well, which one it is, and there are so many. So in a case like that, we would use three, let's say, sound source location. There's one here, and there's one there. So you have three sound source locations, and we have nine microphone array locations. There are nine, all over from the side to the side to the center, along further back, etc. In this area, number of them. So you have three source positions times nine microphone positions. That's 27 times three height. We pick up at three height, so this is 91 times eight impulse responses from each capture. So we have 728 individual unique impulse responses. And that is our material. You know, we start with this as a, okay, we can now produce something with it. Of course, the quality of each IR will have slightly different quality and purpose in the final setup. Our sound source is not an omnidirectional, it's a multidirectional source, using multiple drivers that don't overlap in directions. They are, let's say, bidirectional, highly directional, high frequency drivers that reproduce all the way to 50 kilohertz, or woofers that reproduce down to 25 hertz. And we set up the sources as to model a universal sound source, a small group of vocalists or string players, and we actually, once we set it up, we play anechoic sources, mono source, through these loudspeakers, and we go around and evaluate the quality of the rendering. So it has to sound good in the church from all around. And then we sweep these a sine sweep of 80 seconds long. So this is a very long sweep that gives us very good signal to noise ratio, and we sweep all the way to, you know, almost 48,000 kilohertz, because it's a 96K recording. And this is a microphone array using eight microphones, four of them omnidirectional with a bandwidth of 100 kilohertz, and four of them bidirectional, pointing in different directions, coincident and also diagonal microphones. So left, right, up, down, diagonal. So there's height information that is very important for us too, because that's a very important dimension of the church, of course, or any space. And the omni microphones are separated by the distance of 2 meters. So when then you look at the energy of each impulse response, this is, you know, integrated over 30 millisecond window, you see that they are quite different. From this is capture from one location, one, you know, 8-channel spot, a stand location, and there are 8 microphones. So these are the omnidirectional mics, these are the figure 8 mics looking up diagonally, and these are the two figure eight mics, one horizontally sideways and one vertically up and down. So you see that the behavior and the energy profile of these mics is quite different. And we're working now on ways to actually, not only through parametric analysis of signals, but also through some visual processing, to be able to quickly audition these impulse responses, you know, 720 of them, and choose the right ones based on the way they look, because it's faster than listening to the sound reproduction to them. And I think we're showing some good results there. Then once we have this material, and you know, we are trying to synthesize certain room features. And one step in that is temporal segmentation. We of course divide the impulse response into sections. And then we generate, we put them together we measure the correlation between them, and diffusion, and et cetera, and we can set them into certain units for, let's say, generation of early reflections or late reflections, and to generate such features as immersiveness, for example, or movement of reverberation. And for example, you know, segmentation is to separate early reflections from mid reverberation to late reverberation. And we can create a new impulse response that has, let's say, a greater density of early reflections, because we can blend number of different materials from different rooms to supplement the type of the quality that we need, or the density of reflections, or the color. So for example, to show you again the difference in capturing in one location, this is again in one location, eight different microphones, you hear the differences. Or here, when we combined, we chose only one microphone, but from locations, from four locations and microphone locations and three different source locations. So these are quite different, as you see in the onset time and the settling end and decay characteristics. So all these characteristics can be then compared, and a new unit or hybrid impulse response created. Then when we bring it to rendering in a room here, for example, but we can go and render it in a studio with 22.2, or we can render it in a lab, or try binaural processing, for example. Then we use, of course, multi-channel convolution. In this system here, we have three DSP engines, each eight channels, so 24 low latency convolutions at 96 kilohertz, 24 bit. And these loudspeakers are all dodecahedron loudspeakers, 12 drivers times 16 loudspeakers, 192 drivers, and there are subwoofers, one in each corner, so they are, it's a broadband system. These loudspeakers are measured all the way to, they have a good response to 15 kilohertz. This room has 1.6 seconds reverb time, you know, when it's not enhanced, natural response. So on that grid here, motorized grid, we have loudspeakers distributed in three planes. You can see some lower, some mid, some higher. So if we want to create a perspective, a more distant propagating sound source, we can simply place that impulse response product in there, or we can move them to the left and to the right. And that is all done through this signal processing box, which has two hefty digital mixers and the convolution engine and the library of impulse responses, and the rest of it is all, you know, on the catwalk, microphones, loudspeakers, preamps. And the reason why we use the Omnis as this rendering device is simply because we are using this room as a mixing device. We want to drive this room with a flat power output source. If we would use standard loudspeakers, we would have a predominance of lower frequencies, you know, coloring the sound field. What's also important is the low latency here. The typically we use loudspeakers quite lower than this. This is because of video screen, they are higher. But normally we bring them lower because we don't want the latency, and also the microphones are closer. Because part of the system, you know, Doyoun described, we use subcardioid microphones, so they are open to many directions. So part of it is recirculating. So we don't want the early reflections to be delayed by latency, and then the recirculation, the energy is growing towards the late part. So very often we work specifically on the early reflections to make them as quickly as possible and as strong as possible, to not to allow the later energy to dominate and then drag. The musicians will hear it right away. So, oh, this room is heavy, you know, I cannot drive it. Because musicians want to play and hear the response, so it gives them turbo boost, you know, into what they would like to, you know. You've driven a turbocharged car, you know what it is when you press the pedal and it doesn't, you know, it takes a while to think about it, you know, when they want to accelerate. It's a different, twin turbo is better, you know. So, anyway, so now a few words about the latest experiment that John Hong, my PhD student here, conducted recently and presented in Warsaw. So this was to trying to reconstruct movement and immersiveness of Greece Cathedral using this system, because Durand-Begaud had measured earlier the Greece Cathedral, and he discovered this movement of reverberation. He tested it on some listeners binaurally, and they, you know, he was convinced it's there. So he said, well, let's try to. So here's the setup, you know, these speakers are much lower, and here's the sound source that generates the image of, so the listener hears, sits here facing this way, this loudspeaker produces an image of a small choir, a quartet of singers. And it's facing actually away from him, and there is a microphone, single microphone, picking up that sound of the loudspeaker and generating the ambience. And then we have 15 seconds of anechoic choral recording played back to that JBL speaker picked up by a single mic, generating virtual acoustics of Greece Cathedral in a different setting. So there will be four options, three conditions and reference condition added. But the participants evaluate either movement or envelopment. And in reference condition, the system is off, 1.6 seconds. That's the bottom line here. In condition one, it's 5.8. Condition two, it's also 5.8. Condition three is 5.5. And you can see that the difference between these conditions, the test conditions, is that in condition one, and there are two bidirectional microphones from each microphone location, array location, but in a certain systematic way, further and further away, and also growing up 2 meters, 3 meters, 4 meters. So there's certain regular layout. Condition two, there's also crossed pair of figure eights, but for three different sound sources and three different microphones locations, and so they are much more, you know, differentiated. And in condition three is only one location of the mic array and one location of the source. And there is an indication, this was a preliminary study, but indication strongly suggests that there is a strong preference for condition one and two, and particularly in condition two, where you actually take this material from all over the place and you regenerate, you know, the movement. So in conclusion, I want to say that, yes, we need to capture in many places. We need to use it as material in our case, and it will be more universal for different applications. And we then want to synthesize these distinct qualities that we discover in each of these spaces. And finally, we do also recordings in these spaces. And there was a recording done in a lab on the 8th floor in a Kermit for this virtual Haydn project, where, you know, 9 different rooms were reconstructed for 7 different instruments. And down here we have concerts in virtual acoustics, where the audience is sitting around in the middle, and the artist in the middle, so the artist can really enjoy the ambience as well, or for rehearsals, or for other things. So, thank you very much, and we will move on to the demonstration part now.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give you guys a quick demonstration with Frank. First, we'll like to just give you a sense of the natural acoustic here, and then I'll give you 3 different spaces that we'll go through them
making this effort
and ask Frank to sort of play the same piece so that you guys can hear the acoustic differences.
Sorry.
Condition here where we're only using the early reflections of Snape Malting. To the Weimar salt mine. Combination of different impulse responses that we created and synthesized. Thank you very much, and I hope you enjoy that.
Thank you.